Do you consider Ramani a guru?
I consider Ramana as myself. I look at him as more than a guru. I look at him as the universe, as life itself, which is none other than myself. So he is simply another aspect of me. When I was with him, I paid him homage because he was myself. So I was paying myself homage. Do you follow that? I treated him as I would treat myself. When I came, I brought food, I brought flowers. Because I am the flowers and I am the food. It's all one. But the actual word guru means teacher. And Ramana was no one's teacher. He was simply doing the same thing I do. He was confessing the truth about himself. And the people wanted to sit around and were welcome. He didn't care. In other words, he never said, I am a teacher and these are students. He looked at everyone as himself. And he just went on with his daily activities. And people just sat all around him. When he would go to sleep on the couch, the whole auditorium, they would go to sleep on the floor.
Well, say for instance, some people will read some books by Ramana and will relate to what he's saying, and they'll say that, oh, Ramana is my guru.
Well, it can't hurt.
In the sense of master teacher.
That can't hurt.
I look at your reading a book by Ramana. It can't hurt.
This is really right.
Sure, well.
You just wrote some verses. But the mistake most people make about that is there's too much separation. And as long as there's separation, there's going to be trouble. Because if you fall in love with a guru, the first mistake the guru makes, so it appears, then you hate him. Because physical love is the other side of the coin of hate. But when you look at the guru as not being a person, but being yourself, that's different. When you look at a guru as not being a person, but being yourself, that's a completely different story.
But you say that if you look at the person who made you hurt and you love them, if they hurt you, then that's going to be a reason to leave.
It's a mistake. They make a mistake according to their thinking.
Which doesn't mean they really made it.
See, because you give them your own... I was just going to say that. You want God to live up to your expectations.
That's your ego wanting.
Yes. In other words, you're creating God in your image. So you expect the guru to do this as an example. Say you're celibate. So of course you're going to expect your guru to be celibate. say you live in a cave. So you want your guru to live in a cave also. And if he lives in a house, you'll say, that's not a guru because he lives in a house. You should live in a cave. So we give all our expectations to the guru.
Don't we do that to God?
It's kind of the same thing.
That's anthropomorphizing.
Exactly. But the true way is to totally surrender to yourself. Then you will be led to the true Sadguru, which is none other than yourself. And there will be harmony. Because then you couldn't care less what the Guru does. Because the Guru is yourself.
Robert, doesn't that also happen in personal relationships? Rather than love the Guru, you have that love in your personal relationship, and you have expectations. And
yes.
And then you get let down.
Of course.
Not any different.
Of course.
I think most people fall in love with the image of the other person that they are with. Mm-hmm. And what usually happens in relationships is that neither person can live up to the image the other has created for them.
Expect nothing, you'll never be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. And should you also see the other person in the relationship as yourself?
Yes, you should.
How do you do that?
You simply realize there's one self. And that self is me. So you and I are one. Therefore, whatever you do to me, I can't be mad at you.
How do you do that? Were you going to ask that?
By working on yourself.
Like self-inquiry.
Through self-inquiry. Through mind control.
Would you ask yourself who feels hurt?
You can ask yourself who feels hurt. Who's saying all these things? To whom did these feelings come?
For me, you mentioned that rather than change the situation, you have to change yourself.
Yes.
Wherever
you go. You have to bring yourself with you.
Yes, so that people can stay in a relationship.
Same thing, exactly. Well, you have to draw a line someplace, sometime. It depends on your advancement and your maturity. If you're living with a person that you can't get along with, and you want to develop yourself, and you can't be in those circumstances, then you should change them. But if you're not working on yourself, if you change your circumstances, they'll pop up somewhere else.
But there's lots of relationships where one person may be working on it, but the other person could care less about what that is.
Yes.
And they can get along.
Well, but as you work on yourself, you will know what to do. For instance, if someone comes to me and they say, I want your car. That's not strange to me.
They want your car?
They want my car. If I feel in the mood to give it to them, I'll say, take it. If I don't, I'll say no. I forget all about it. I won't think about it. I won't get caught up in the struggle. Why does she want my car? What is he going to do with my car? I don't think that way. I'll say, you want to take it? If I don't think so, I'll say, no, I can't give it to you. That's the end of that. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to worry about. I once had a beautiful ring, and somebody really liked it, so I took it off and I gave it to them. Because I'm not attached. What's rightfully mine can never be taken away, and that's myself. Everything else comes and goes. You don't get attached, but you have a loving feeling, a kind feeling.
So how would you do it?
But being attached means you own them. It's like you own the person, and they have to do what you want. That's attachment.
Okay, so
Can it be the other way around, that they own the movie?
Yes, it can. Same thing. But if you're free, then you love them. But you don't let them walk all over you. But you still love them.
And then you'll be sitting with me.
You do what is necessary.
That's like that story of the man with the dream with the sons.
Something like that. Now, I don't mean to make this cold and cackling. I mean, I love you more than anybody else can ever love you in your life. And you don't know that. But I'm not attached. Do you see the difference?
Like, if you never saw me, it wouldn't make any difference.
And yet I give up my life for you. Can you follow?
Well, I'm not in that place, but I understand.
You are me. We're one. And I could do nothing but love you.
Well, I don't know that I could say that I give up my life.
Because I have no life.
Oh.
Whose life are you giving up? There's nothing to give up.
So that's why you could do it.